Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show. Filling in for Brian today, I'm Juan Manuel Benitez from New York One Noticias. With me now is Anna Sale, the host of WNYC's much-loved, loved podcast, Death, Sex, and Money. The show's tagline is things we think about a lot and need to talk about more. And today, Anna is here to talk about something that definitely falls into that category, student loan debt. Today, more than 44 million Americans have some sort of student loan debt, more than ever before, and yet it remains a difficult topic to discuss. So Death, Sex, and Money has been asking for stories from people about how debt is affecting their lives, asking them to come clean and really talk about it. Anna Sale is here with me now to talk about what they heard. They have a new episode coming out today and tomorrow incorporating those stories. Hi, Anna. Thanks for coming on to talk about this.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, Anna, you asked Death, Sex, and Money listeners to share their student loan debt stories, and the response was the biggest the show's ever gotten. What sorts of stories were you looking for, and what do you think accounts for the major response?
You know, we were surprised by the overwhelming number of stories we received. We ask our listeners, you know, stories about big things in their lives all the time, things about their relationships, things about money. And we thought we would get a similar kind of response when we asked people to talk to us about their student debt. But I think we hit a nerve that we weren't really expecting. I think that there's two things happening right now. There are more people with more student debt out there, but there's still this sense of shame about it, this sense that somehow you got duped by the system, and you may look on the outside like you've achieved a certain level of success if you become educated, have a professional job, for example, but month to month you might be struggling to pay your bills, including your student loan payments. So that's what we heard. We just got this overwhelming sense of like people are dealing with this quietly at night when they're clicking and making their payments on student loans, but it's not something they feel like they can talk openly about. So I think we cracked that open.
So let's just go through some facts. What does the landscape of student loan debt look like in America?
Well, I had heard that the reason we asked the question is because you hear kind of top line things like student loan debt now exceeds credit card debt in America. You hear things like it now tops $1.4 trillion in student debt in America. So it's these big numbers, but it didn't really feel real to me. And you hear things about millennials having lower rates of home ownership, and maybe that's because of their student loan debt, these kind of big abstract concepts. So we just said, tell us in your life, in your specific budget, month to month, how are your student loans affecting you? And it's real. It's really real that people are paying more than they were even 10 years ago. The average amount of debt for students leaving college is up about 70% from 10 years ago. So while it's always been about half of students in the 90s, for example, would graduate with some student loans, the student loans are now taking longer to pay off because they're bigger amounts. So it has a bigger effect on people's feeling of when they get to start adulthood, because there's this longer tail of feeling like you're paying off your education and not being able to spend money on other things to get your life started.
So nearly 7 in 10 people who graduated college last year had some student debt, and the average amount of student loan debt for graduates of a four-year college last year was $37,000. What were the range of debt amounts you heard about?
Well, we heard from people, first of all, who said, oh my gosh, I just paid off my debt and here's how amazing it felt. So we definitely got those stories. But we have heard the whole range, you know, people who are paying $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 in debt. And then when you get the stories from people who have graduate degrees and have student loan payments on that, that's when you hear the stories about $100,000, $200,000. We talked to a veterinarian who has over $500,000 in student loan debt in the episode that came out today. And in her case, when she graduated, it was $400,000. So that's a story of when someone can't keep up even with the interest as it compounds, and this feeling like you're throwing money with or at your student debt, but you're not even keeping up with interest. So that's where you get the stories of like, oh my gosh, I'm just stuck. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to make these minimum payments until, in that case, the veterinarian had a federal student loan. So in 20 years, they'll be forgiven.
And with all the responses you received, you found a consistent theme. Let's take a listen to this short montage.
My own husband, he has no idea.
I have blatantly lied to my friends about student loans.
I carry guilt, but mostly embarrassment.
In so many ways, I felt embarrassed.
I feel like a big, fat, friggin' loser.
A big, fat, freaking loser. That's a little bit too much, isn't it? Too aggressive?
Well, that's what we were really surprised by. I mean, the episodes are called Our Student Loan Secrets, because that's what we heard. How many people are feeling overwhelmed by their student debt payments, but are dealing with it kind of privately, quietly. They're not telling their coworkers. In extreme cases, they're not telling their partners even. They're not telling their parents if they haven't started making payments, even though they got their first student loan bill 2 years ago when they graduated college. So it's this, you know, student debt, it's different than a car payment or a mortgage payment, because there's not going to be something that's going to get taken away when you don't make payments. So there's this, it's so abstract for people. So to send off $500 a month or $1,000 a month or $1,500 a month, it doesn't feel good. But of course, this is debt that people took out to get educated. So I think that's what was so interesting about this, because people know on the one hand that they feel like the system somehow duped them. They feel frustrated that education is so expensive. But they signed for these loans. This is money they took out and they borrowed. They knew it wasn't a scholarship. So you have this mix of frustration with the system and shame about your choices.
So listeners, where are you in the journey of paying off your student loans, and how is it affecting your life? Does it affect your spending habits or your relationships? Do you talk about it with friends, or do you feel ashamed about it? Call in and tell us your student loan debt stories. You can call us at 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. And now let's hear some tape from someone who you talked to, Anna, in the episode. This is Jordan, who finished college in 2014 and then got her first student loan bill. Let's take a listen.
I just didn't pay. Like, I just felt like, how can you expect me to start paying you $700 a month? Which is just a crazy number. And like, I can't even afford to pay rent. So paying $700 a month is just not feasible.
How much do you owe in student loans?
Oh God, $58,000.
In the years since graduating, Jordan has never made a payment on her student loan.
You start getting emails all the time like, hey, Jordan, your student loans are past due. And then you get like one of those pink envelopes in the mail. When it's like, when you get the pink envelope, you're
How long have you been getting pink envelopes?
See, the trick is when you call the student loan office and you say, like, oh, like, give me this information. I want to start the process. They'll get off your back for like a month or so, maybe like on and off for about a year.
So that's, Anna, like a theme that I'm sure you heard about a lot in your conversations with people with student loan debt.
Yeah, and we follow Jordan's story in both the first and second episode of this series as she kind of stops being in denial about her student loan debt and thinks about making her first payment. But you hear there, like, you know, this is the time of year when that reality sets in for recent college graduates. You know, there's commencement, there's all the pomp and circumstance dance and the congratulations when you graduate, and then it's around July, the 1st of July, when you get that first bill and you're like, oh my gosh, this is what this is going to mean, all my student loans. This is what I'm going to have to pay every month. Mm-hmm. And Jordan says it right there. She's like, you get this email. It feels kind of like it's coming from nowhere. Then you can make a call and you can sort of dodge your payments for a while. And you know, but it's there. This debt is there that she's got to deal with. So that's what we hear in the episodes, how she you know, starts rethinking her budget and how she's spending money and what her obligation is in terms of paying it back.
Mm-hmm. And now with us, we have on the line Beth. And Beth is not her real name, but we want to protect her identity. She's a public defender. And Anna talked to her for the story. And Beth, you're a bit further in your student loan debt journey than Jordan is. Hi, Beth. How are you?
Hi, Juan. Hi, Anna. Thanks for having me.
Hi, Beth.
So, Beth, I know that you're in a better place now, but at one point, student loan debt was weighing on your life. Can you tell us how much debt you started out with and how it was affecting your life?
Sure. So I graduated law school in 2006, and I graduated both from undergrad and law school with about $155,000 in student loans. And right now I have about $28,000 left, and I'm on track. It'll be very, very tight, but I'm on track to pay them off by the end of this year. And just so people are not confused out there, I am a contract attorney, so I do a lot of public defense work, but I've never qualified for any sort of public student loan forgiveness, so I really am paying all of this myself.
And how do you do it? Like, you design some sort of budget for yourself, and what kind of lifestyle changes you had to make to make it happen?
So I always paid the standard monthly payments, which when I started were around $1,100 a month, but now that I've paid off a fair amount of the actual individual loans and I just have a big consolidated federal loan left, my monthly payment right now is technically only $364, but I've been paying thousands per month for the past about three years now, and it basically just comes down to extreme zero-based budgeting. Like, I don't buy anything that is not housing, groceries, utilities, and student loans.
Mm-hmm.
And it sucks. I'm not going to lie. It totally sucks right now, but I'll be done soon, and I'll have my life back, and I'm just really excited for that.
When do you think you're going to be done?
Hopefully the end of December, possibly January.
Mm-hmm. And that would be how many years of paying off the debt?
That will be about 11 and a half.
Wow. And what kind of advice do you have for someone like Jordan, who is afraid to start making payments?
I've never been in a situation where I haven't paid anything, but even when I used to pay the standard amounts, I think, and I know a lot of people like this, they just, and I listened to Jordan on today's podcast, and so many people, I think, want to project an image of who they are and not really face who they are and what they have to do to be who they really are. And it's really hard, and I had to sort of go through my own, you know, mental shift in order to be able to really do this. And you just have to sit down and focus and think about what you want for your life in the next 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. And I don't think most people want to carry this around for that long.
Well, good luck, Beth, and thank you so much for talking to us.
Thanks so much for having me.
We're going to take some phone calls. Ron. Ron is in Somerset, New Jersey. Ron, good morning. Welcome to the Brian Lehrer Show.
Yes. Good morning. Thank you for having me on. Like the caller who was just on, had well up into the six figures of debt. I went to law school, and just as a contract attorney, just didn't make enough to pay more than the minimum payment. And I've done my best. I've kept up with them as best I can, even through periods of unemployment. Of course, some of the interest got recapitalized, so I owe more than I started out with. And here's the problem. I've been paying for 17 years, and I owe about $10,000-$12,000 more than I started with. And even with paying the minimum payment, I'm going to be going forever. I'll be 59 in September. I went to law school a little later. I've been paying for 17 years. And when I talk to Sally May and those other folks there, they say, oh, don't relax, in 20 years it'll be forgiven. And, you know, I'm not going to be around in 20 years, I doubt. But, you know, they took away the deduction back in 1989 for student interest. You know, they put it back begrudgingly a little bit. You know, I pay $7,000-$8,000 a year in school interest, but you can only deduct $2,500. I wish I could pay off my student loans. I don't have the tools to do it. And I'm wondering, where are people who paid for their own education, whether undergraduate or graduate, and they're well into the six figures, and they've been paying for close to 20 years. I'm sure there's a lot in my boat. And why isn't the government helping us out to unload this? I'd love to pay it. Give me the tools. Give me a break, a settlement price. And then I could go on and start a law firm. I could start a business. I could pay off mortgages. I could do a million things and be a more productive member of society and probably end up contributing better to our tax base. There's a lot, I'm sure, who are stuck in my circumstance, and we just feel this hopelessness, and we had so much hope that President Obama would make the forgiveness retroactive, and so that I would be looking at, you know, maybe three or four more years of payment, and, you know, it would go away. Or else they provide us some tools, some mechanisms to settle it and get out from under, if possible.
Hey, so, Ron, yeah. I have a question for you. One thing I heard a lot from listeners was that they're making all of these kind of decisions about how much they can afford in student loan payments and how to balance that against things like retirement savings. They're making those decisions a lot on their own. They haven't found a lot of help from financial advisors to deal with their student debt. Have you have you had any conversations with a professional that have been helpful?
I have, and you know, they you know, they say, well, you know, take, you know, borrow more against your house. I mean, with my income as just a contract attorney, you know, and again, we know what happened with everybody who went to law schools, and you know, we're encouraged to take them out in the dead on, with no real assurances that there would be, you know, great opportunities out there. Yes, I've been counseled, but I've only been able to make those minimum payments and just keep it from defaulting and keep my credit score up, you know, and things of that nature. I really didn't have, I kept waiting for that next job that would come along that would give me just a little more room that I could, you know, maybe put $5,000 or $10,000 extra against the loans and wheedle them down. And I just never had more than two nostrils above water. And so I kind of had my hands tied, to answer your question.
Thank you so much, Ron. We're going to hear from Jennifer in Bloomingdale, New Jersey. Jennifer, good morning. Welcome to the Brian Lehrer Show.
Good morning.
So tell us your story.
Well, I am a parent that co-signed for student loans. And I also took some student loans out for my son, who attended two different colleges. He's graduated more than 10 years ago, and he's still paying $400 a month. And I'm paying $200 a month to keep him afloat. And he's unable to get a job using his degree yet. And it's a strain on parents also. And I don't hear that very often. When my son went to college, I want you to succeed. I'm going to co-sign, and you'll graduate, and you'll get a job, and you'll pay back your loans, but that's not happening. So if you know anyone that needs a writer, he actually did internship at WNYC when he was at Fairleigh Dickinson, but it's such a strain. He's 35 years old now. And he feels like he's such a burden on his parents. He can't afford to live on his own. And he just needs a job using his degree so he can support himself.
Thank you. Thank you for that story, Jennifer. And Anna, I'm sure you heard a lot of those stories too. Parents that are co-sufferers in this problem.
Yes, co-sufferers, co-signers, and I think that's an important dimension to this, because you have kind of recent college graduates or even, you know, 10 years out of college, and you have this ongoing financial relationship with your parents if they took out loans for you as well. There's a woman in the episode that came out today that we called Isabel. That's not her real name, but she's making payments on her student loans. Her parents are making payments on student loans they took out for her. And they had this informal agreement that 6 years after graduation, she would take over her parents' payments. She's not earning what she thought she would. She's not able to take over their payments. And now her parents are facing retirement. They're at a stage where they need to not be paying these student loan payments. And so it's led to another, you know, tension in their relationship, because on the one hand, she's sharing her budget with her parents every month, showing this is all the things I'm paying for. I'm really trying to pay down, you know, pay what I can to you. But she talked about she got a TV at a Black Friday sale with her boyfriend last year and didn't tell her parents, and then got caught in a lie several months later and had to tell them that she'd spent $80 on a television instead of putting that towards student loans. And that sort of made it real for me that we're making these payments when young people are starting their careers, they're starting their households, they're starting their lives. And so, you know, she was in a situation of, you know, she wanted a TV with her boyfriend. They found one. She had $80, but then she didn't want to tell her parents because she knows that there's a financial burden for them.
And something else that I was struck by in your episode were the number of people who said that their debt number was so high the amount, that they didn't feel, that amount didn't feel real. And when they took out their first loans, they didn't really understand the lifetime commitment they were making. Here's a clip of another woman you talked to. Her name is Vivian. She's 34. This clip starts with you talking.
And just to go back to when you were a college student, did you know what you were getting into when you took out these loans?
I think about that a lot. I have a lot of guilt and shame over that. I had the mindset, I think, of a lot of 19, 20-year-olds where I had really great expectations for how successful I was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't think that I would have any issues with these loans. And so, no, I don't think that I thought about the ramifications of taking those loans. I just took them.
What's your degree in?
Management and organizational development.
Are you glad you have that degree?
Hell no.
Yeah.
I could have made every dime that I've made in my career with no college.
That's a really strong statement. Was that a common sentiment, Anna, that people felt they regretted going to college, that their degrees were not worth it?
Yes, we heard that over and over again. And I think part of the issue is that when you're in school, when you're a teenager starting out school, you go to the financial aid office, you're told, you know, this is your balance that's not covered by grants, this is what you need to take out in loans in order to get courses this semester, and so you sign for your student loans, and you go about to the next semester, and you do it again. And a lot of people told me it's difficult to have a sense of how much you're taking out in loans because you're not getting sort of statements as you go along about, here's what this means in terms of your monthly payments when you graduate. So it doesn't become concrete until you're done with school, and then you're trying to get a job, and then you're not getting a job that you thought you might get when you were Googling expected incomes for your major. And so then you end up in a situation where you're not able to make your student loan payments. Vivian, the listener we just heard, she took out private student loans, and that's an important distinction because with federal loans, you can do things like income-based repayment and things like that. Hers were private loans, so she wasn't able to negotiate what the monthly payment would be. They wouldn't work with her, and she ended up getting her wages garnished. And in her case, she got divorced at one point and then ended up reconciling with her ex-husband simply because she couldn't afford to live on her own. So it's these financial decisions around student debt have enormous consequences for how our lives look and how our families look well into adulthood.
And a strong impact too, I guess, like you said, Anna, in this case, a huge impact on people's relationships, romantic or otherwise, correct?
Yeah, I mean, we heard a lot of stories about, you know, delayed engagements, decisions not to have weddings. The question of whether and when to have children is something that people talked a lot about when they were talking about their student loans. And, you know, as with any debt, you know, that how you feel about student loan debt is often how you feel about debt in general. And so if you're in a relationship where your partner feels not comfortable with debt, that can lead to big tensions. We talked to a listener who said it broke up her engagement. She's not getting married now because her partner couldn't deal with the fact that she had over $60,000 in debt. And so these are these have huge ramifications beyond just like declining home ownership rates for millennials. And so that was what we were trying to get at with this series, that when you decide to take out student loans or when you decide to go to that private college instead of the public college, you're going to pay for it somehow.
Let's hear from Brandon in Hartford, Connecticut. Brandon, good morning. Welcome to the Brian Lehrer Show.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me.
So tell us your story.
Hi. So I just graduated with an undergraduate degree last semester, and at the beginning of the semester, I got a call from my federal loan servicer saying that I'm not in school anymore, even though I am in school, and they said I need to start a repayment program. And I said, I am still in school. They said I need to fill out a form or just wait for my status to be updated. So I don't know if in that time they're reporting on my credit that I'm not making payments, even though I'm in school. And now that I'm graduated, I'm starting to want to pay off my loans. I have a full-time job. I can easily pay back my monthly payments. And I go onto the website, and they tell me, oh, your account is locked. You need to call this number. And in order for me to set up that account, I need to I need to call somebody else and go through exit loan counseling before I do any of that. All I want to do is make payments and like build my credit up. And they're making it impossible for me to pay back. They're and when I'm in school, they're asking me for payments. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's the federal government. You think they would be on top of their stuff, but they would just seem to want to make it difficult for students.
So, Brendan, what's your degree on, and how much money are you going to owe at the end?
Well, I don't owe that much. I went to a two-year college, I work as a chemist at an environmental lab right now. So, I only owe $8,000. It's only going to be like $50 to $100 a month payment, something I can easily make. But they're telling me that I can't enter a repayment plan until I go through all these other steps. And I don't have time to do that, with all the numbers I have to call. It's such a headache with everything else I have going on. Just let me repay my loans.
Okay, thank you.
Brendan, that's such a sad story. Congratulations on graduating and getting a job.
Thank you.
I think that you're hitting on something that's a huge structural issue, too, which is just that the whole maze of student loan servicing does not make this any easier. So, the fact that you're ready to write a check and to start your payments and you can't figure out who to send money to, that's a problem.
Exactly.
Thank you so much, Brendan, and congratulations, and good luck, okay?
Bye.
And Anna, do you notice, while talking to people, do you notice a difference between how men and women went about dealing with their debt?
I don't think I noticed a gender breakdown necessarily, but I did find it really fascinating that the way people felt about their student loan debt, how overwhelming it felt, it didn't necessarily correlate to the amount. You could talk to somebody who had hundreds of thousands of dollars of student loan debt and they just sort of had accepted it as a fact of life and they're just going to be making incremental payments throughout their adult lives. And then for other people, they have a very different emotional reaction to debt. They feel completely overwhelmed. They feel like they're not in control of their lives, and so they have to do more drastic things, like we heard from Beth earlier, to pay down that debt more quickly. So I think it's, as with any debt, people have different emotional reactions. But I think the thing that's distinct about student loan debt is everyone who took it out, they thought they were doing the right thing. They thought they were doing the thing that they're supposed to do to get ahead. And I think that's why for people who feel stuck at the end of this or like their degree wasn't worth it, they have this heartbroken quality of like, I thought I was doing the right thing to get ahead in America, and it doesn't feel like I made the right choice.
And what advice would you give to people who are struggling with student loan debt, but maybe not financial advice, like more of emotional advice?
I mean, I think the reason we did these episodes is because I think it's important to like to look right at them. I think that denial can become a part of how you deal with debt. I think it's such a confusing process. It's easy to throw your hands up and say, they're not making it easy for me to pay this back, so I'm going to dodge my payments as long as I can. But that debt follows you. So I think it's about being open about these stories so we can understand that we're in a new phase of what it looks like when you finish higher education. This student loan debt issue is a big deal, and I think that it's a huge issue for people who are in their 20s and 30s, and I'm not sure people who are older who went to school 15, 20, 30 years ago really get that. So I think we need to share more stories about our student debt, how we're dealing with it, what we're having trouble dealing with, and help each other.
Let's take one last call. Ashley is in Hawthorne, New Jersey. Ashley, good morning. Welcome to the Brian Lehrer Show.
Hi, how are you?
Very good. How are you? Tell us your story.
So my husband went to a private conservatory for school for music, and then he got his master's, and that's kind of where we met in school. I was a music major too, and I have $67,000 in debt now. He has over $130,000 in debt. And I'm still in graduate school. I'm getting my master's in social work. And by the time I leave, I'll have $87,000. He has some private loans, and it's crazy how predatorial they can be about the payments, you know. It took him a really long time to find a job that pays him a decent wage. And when I went to school, I realized that I couldn't work and go to school at the same time because I was overwhelmed, and he kind of held down the fort. And while he was holding down the fort, we couldn't make some payments, and our credit took a dive. And it's this endless feeling of hopelessness of how will we pay it, when will we pay it. You know, I had all of these expectations for where I would be at my age. I'm 27 now. And I don't know if we'll have children. I doubt we'll ever be able to own a home. I don't even want to think about retirement. I'm getting my certification in health and aging, and I took a class on aging that terrified me. It made me think, you know, how am I going to afford to get old? I'm still going to have this debt looming over my head. And it's really overwhelming.
Sorry to hear that, Ashley. And I'm sure, Anna, you heard a lot of stories similar to Ashley's.
Yeah, Ashley, I mean, the thing I can tell you is you're not the only one going through this, and you're not the only one who doesn't quite know what to do next. So I would encourage you to, if you go to deathsexmoney.org/student loans, at the bottom of the page, we have a list of resources. But I would check out, I would find somebody to talk to, because you're at a stage of life where you're trying to plan for the future, and it feels like you don't quite know what the next steps are. And so I would ask for some help.
Thanks.
Thank you, Ashley. Good luck. And Anna, can people still submit their stories to you, even though the first episode is already out?
Yes. We're doing something pretty cool, because like you just heard from Ashley, there's this feeling of just like completely being overwhelmed when you feel isolated in this. So at that website I mentioned, deathsexmoney.org/student loans, we have a map, and you can submit your story, where you live, how old you are, whether you owe student loans and how much, and how you feel about it. And what going through that map, the thing that I feel, it's just nice to see people who are like you. We also have a quiz you can take where you can enter in how much you owe, and you can find out where you fit in the national statistics, and also get a story from another Death, Sex, and Money listener who's in a similar position than you. So it's not easy to figure out how to get out of this debt, but I think the first step is recognizing that this is a structural change in American society, and we've got to admit that. We've got to look at it closely, and we've got to share more stories about it.
Unfortunately, we'll have to leave it there with Anna Sale. She's the host of WNYC's podcast, Death, Sex, and Money. You can listen to their latest episode at wnyc.org/shows/death-sex-money. Another episode on student loans comes out tomorrow. Anna, such a pleasure talking to you.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.